plans for St. Augustine's 450th go into an intense phase. We've got an update right now. And good Wednesday morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect is always live on the radio at 9, and you can also catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Just ahead, the latest on the long road toward the big celebration in the nation's oldest city. You can get on the line now with your questions at 549-2937. Then later, we'll tell you all about the green creators, and there were a lot of them, at One Spark. Plus, the debut of our brand new Relax Radio, the music of your life. Find out about a special live broadcast at the beaches this week. All of that ahead. But first, this September, St. Augustine will commemorate 450 years as the oldest continuously occupied European settlement in these United States. Anniversary planning has been a long process for St. Augustine city officials, and with about 6 months to go, there is still much to be done. Now, the 450th has been the subject of many a heated discussion, with some questioning the finances and the plans. So this morning, we're giving listeners an up-to-date look at what's happening here in studio. Dana St. Clair, he's the director of the St. Augustine 450th commemoration. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Thanks for being with us. And Alexa Epitropoulos, a reporter with the Jacksonville Business Journal, has been covering this as well. Good morning.
Happy to be here.
And we're already getting your calls. What are your questions about the 450th commemoration in St. Augustine? Give us a call, St. Augustine, because we know you're listening out there. So call us up at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. And we also welcome your questions on Facebook. Dana, let's begin with you. Before we get into the details of everything, the 450th has been long in the works. For people outside of St. Augustine that might not know about this, what all is planned?
Well, we've had a great deal planned. We actually laid the anniversary, the commemoration out as a four-year linear event. I think that's very often confused, that the birthday party is just the final piece of a four-year linear event. So we've been at this for a long time. We've been commemorating everything from the 500th anniversary of the founding of Florida by Juan Ponce de Leon to the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. And this year, we are celebrating not only the 450th anniversary of the founding of St. Augustine, but also the multicultural founding of America, which is a big anniversary.
It really is. And let me ask you as a follow-up. There had been some discussion among the St. Augustine city officials as to whether or not this celebration contracts for it needed an audit. Can you bring us up to date?
There was a great deal of discussion. The city commission made the determination after an internal review by the city manager that an audit wasn't necessary. You know, we're pretty transparent. We are a department of the city of St. Augustine. We abide by the same policies and procedures that are laid out by General Services. And for those who are really interested in understanding the data, the facts, we've posted everything online. I would encourage everybody that really wants to understand the details of what we're doing for the commemoration to go to www.staugustine.com/450. And we've also posted all of our contracts, and we've posted all of our agreements and our strategic plan, and everything else is there for everyone to see.
And we'll go to your calls on St. Augustine's 450th in just a moment at 549-2937. Alexa, you've been following this. This is a big deal for the city, the nation's oldest city, as it's known. There have been some bumps along the way.
Certainly. I think we see the new mayor, Mayor Nancy Shaver, kind of questioning this. Audits was something that she originally called for. I think new leadership, you always have a little bit of concern, especially with a celebration as big as this.
What about that, Dana? The new mayor has kind of made some noise about her concerns about and also the overall vision for this 450th, because there have been sort of competing visions over the years.
Sure. Yeah. And competing and possibly definitely varied visions. And you know, she's a new city commissioner and brings to the the table a new perspective. And that's typically what you do in a body of governance like that. You have five city commissioners that have an equal voice and a different perspective. And so she had particular concerns about certain things. I think my hope is that all of those concerns were addressed and answered. What we are really focused on now is really hosting the commemoration, building the world stage, and accomplishing the strategic objectives that we laid down a long time ago, which is destination awareness. We want the rest of the world to know our unique story. And underneath that is economic development through sustainable tourism, a lot of high-level initiatives that go on every day that really have elevated the cultural and heritage landscape of St. Augustine. Now, we're managing the success of that now. We have a tremendous influx of visitors who have come here specifically for the events that have been developed by the 450th commemoration. But we're getting ready to celebrate who we are as the nation's oldest city, and we're all part of that. We're celebrating the very founding, the multicultural founding of America. It happened here in 1565, not in Jamestown in 1607 or with the Pilgrims in 1620. It's a big story, and we want the rest of the world to understand it. And so we'd like to move past the bumpy parts, as you say, and really focus on really what it is that we're doing.
And Alexa, once all of these wrinkles are ironed out, should this be a successful event, it's an enormous business opportunity for St. Augustine to brand itself on the global stage.
I would say so. You know, as many have mentioned, there is this push to get St. Augustine the recognition that a lot of people don't think it has gotten over the years. It's on the same level as Jamestown. And I think it's really interesting to see how businesses will capitalize on this.
How do you see them doing that?
I think that there's going to be a huge influx of tourists. And I think that that's an opportunity for restaurants, small businesses to come up and say, hey, come and visit us and see what we have to offer.
And we have so many listeners in St. Augustine, so we want to hear from you right now as we discuss planning for the 450th commemoration. Give us a call, 549-2937. David in St. Augustine. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi, David. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Melissa. Thank you. I'm glad you're having a discussion. It's certainly been in the news locally here. I've lived here for 15 years and followed the story carefully. I just want to point out that just referring to Mr. Sinclair's reference to Nancy Shaver is bringing a new perspective, and I think that she just remembered it was her new perspective that got her elected. So it's perspective that apparently is shared by a majority of voters. But also, my main focus of calling is that in spite of the millions of dollars that are being put into this, which is largely a tourism promotion effort as seen by most of us who are taxpayers, there are some significant volunteer projects that have been amazing. The St. Augustine Maritime Heritage Foundation created a reproduction Spanish chalupa boat that they launched this month that's gorgeous, a lasting piece of art and tribute to the history. A similar effort was done to recreate the boat that Pedro Menendez used to sail to Florida in 1513. And I also am involved with the St. Augustine Music Festival, and we are producing via the composer Peter Shevchik, who wrote the music for your show, Melissa, a piece for orchestra that will be given its world premiere in the Cathedral Basilica on June 27th. And this piece, St. Augustine Suite, will be a four-movement tribute to the amazing history of St. Augustine. It'll be a lasting artistic achievement. And I'm urging people to join the Kickstarter campaign that ends on April 25th to bring this to life, to pay the composer, perform it, and record it. And it's something that will be as relevant as the 500th anniversary as the 450th.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, David. Thanks for the call. Dana.
Well, David brings up a good point. The commemoration really is a celebration of many things in the community. And we have all these organizations and individuals that are developing these special programs. And collectively, they become the commemoration. And I want to also follow up with David's remark. that this is a community-based celebration. And while, you know, the money that has been budgeted for this currently is paid for by tourist revenue through the parking garage, we've feel like there has been a very effective return on investment in what we're doing. For example, right now at the Visitor Information Center, there is a 4,000 square foot exhibition called Tapestry, The Cultural Threads of First America. It was a very heavy mark in our strategic plan. It's not only the exhibition that talks about the founding, the multicultural founding of St. Augustine, but the cultural threads that followed 450 years through, including the Greeks and the Minorcans and the Italians and the French and everyone else. So there's a citywide passport program. There's a national curriculum that has been created for that. It's all available for free. The program, the citywide passport, the curriculum is all available for the community, the residents, the regional community, the nation, the world to come and see and hear and learn our story.
Cameron in St. Augustine. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on this morning. Great job today, guys, by the way.
Thank you,
Cam. Yeah, I'm a small business owner in St. Augustine, and I was, you know, just kind of touching on the subject of the possibilities that it will have by, you know, making more people knowledgeable to the fact that we are the first settlement in the United States, which is an amazing thing. I'm just a little smokehouse barbecue place on 206, but, you know, events like what we just had this weekend, like Rhythm and Ribs, and, you know, put on by the Sunrise Rotary, which did a great job, just would be that much more profitable. It's all charity, you know, based profits and everything that they do. So things like that would just be a great improvement all around, in my opinion, and just a beautiful thing.
All right, that's Cameron, a small business owner. Alexa, what do you think?
I think that it is a tremendous opportunity for you, Cameron, to step up. I know that there are a lot of restaurants that people are going to be visiting. I'm sure yours will be one of them.
Let's go to Nell in St. Augustine now. Hi, Nell. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. I'm fine today. I just wanted to call on behalf of the Community Chorus, who will be having a concert during the Romanesa Festival. And the title of our program is Jubilee, 450 Years of Song. And we basically will be having one piece of music during each century from the 16th up to through the 21st century at the Memorial Presbyterian Church on May the 17th. Sunday afternoon, and we do hope that we will be able to get people who would be interested in knowing how music has progressed over the centuries.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks for reminding us of that. That's, people are calling in with, there's so much happening around this.
There is, and there has been a great deal happening over the past 3 years, and I want to emphasize that. This big birthday celebration we're having in September, that's the culmination. That's going to be a big party, and we want everybody to participate, and we're expecting that the nation and, in many cases, the world. But we've been developing this over 4 years, infusing Spanish culture, elevating the cultural and heritage landscape, everything from bringing tall ships into the harbor to creating Spanish wine festivals, to Picasso exhibitions, the Journey exhibitions. It's all designed to develop a better quality destination. Now, one point of contention is that we've been too successful and we've attracted too many tourists. So at this stage, the city is managing its success, if you will. We are managing a greater influx of tourism that are now recognizing not only the story, but also the quality cultural and tourist destination. So economically, from your business owners, but also quality residential quality of life, it benefits everyone.
Calls from across the listening area as we discuss the planning in St. Augustine for the 450th commemoration. What are your questions? 549-2937. Eduardo in Orange Park. Eduardo, good morning.
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Gracias. Good question. By the way, I love St. Augustine. My only complaint that I have is that it's too good and it's getting crowded when I go eat there. It's fantastic. Just a quick question. Any of the royals family from Spain expected to show up.
Oh, interesting. Thanks for that.
And thank you for that question. And I want to emphasize here with this question that we are also celebrating the Spanish founding of America.
Right,
And that's a very big deal. We have Spain participating in this. The the king and queen of Spain are very much aware of this anniversary. We had a delegation go over to Marbella, Malaga, last year. We actually got to meet with them. The Spanish ambassador is tuned into what is going on. We are, while no one has confirmed, with the U.S.-Spain Council International Summit coming up right after the birthday party. It's in the middle of the month. We are anticipating a visit.
From the king and queen of Spain.
From the king and queen of Spain. Now, again, that hasn't been confirmed, and they won't do that this far out, but they have recognized the importance of this anniversary and the important role that Spain and the United States play in partnership.
So we're just breaking some news here on this show right now.
Well, we have...
I always love that.
Well, I can tell you this is the second half of that. You know, there are these rumors that the Pope is coming as well.
What
too.
About that?
That the Pope is probably not coming
but
at
can,
all.
So we can reasonably expect the King and Queen of Spain to attend.
Well, now, if the Pope may very well at some point recognize the significance of St. Augustine as the site of the first Catholic parish mass in the continental United States. We're hoping for that. No one has confirmed anything, so we have no expectations. In fact, it would be very challenging for the city to host the Pope at any point. So we're hoping at some point recognition. But for the King and Queen of Spain, it will at least be some type of official recognition and representation. They did indicate a very strong interest in participating at some level. No one has confirmed that. And Melissa, I'm not confirming it on the radio.
But, you know, Alexa, if they do visit, as you said, that's just an incredible amount of publicity.
Just enormous. I think about all of the exposure that it could bring for the city. Obviously, as a St. Augustine resident, too, I think about the traffic, which would be also incredible. But I think it's, again, an opportunity.
Ed in St. Augustine. Hi, Ed. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how are you? And I want to congratulate Mr. St. Clair and everybody that's been involved with the St. Augustine 450th anniversary. You guys have done a wonderful job. But here's my question. Even in any large event in St. Augustine, we find that it's very, very, very difficult for employees of the restaurants and businesses to find parking and parking that they can afford because the wages, again, are very, you know, are just very low wages. And so I'm just wondering what you plan to do in a situation for employees who work in these businesses to find parking during these events. Even now, during large events like Rhythm and Ribs, it's extremely difficult for people to find parking, and parking in the garage, you know, for low-wage workers is expensive. I'll take my answer off.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. Some of these logistical problems, I'm sure, will continue to be a major headache. And he's right. Parking is at a premium. What about that?
Well, and we always forget about the parking for residents and for the business community of St. Augustine. Ed brings up a very good point. As we are planning towards the five-day festival, which I should say on September the 8th, which is actually the anniversary day, culminates in a mass reenactment and a procession down to the Cathedral Basilica with breakout events after that. But that five-day festival, we are anticipating an influx. Our logistical and operational team, which includes our commander for that logistics team is the chief of police, Lauren Luders. We have Martha Graham with Public Works involved. We have Mark Litzinger from finance handling parking and transportation. So just like the Mumford concert, if you will, that we produced for the 450th commemoration, just like the Mumford concert, we have to talk about security issues, emergency response, parking. So we're already starting to build the field for satellite parking. Convenient parking for employees such as Ed, that so it doesn't inconvenience or disrupt the normal flow of business. All of those things are very important to us. We're not going to drop this thing in at the inconvenience of the business or the residential community.
Sure. And Alex, as you said, you're a resident, so you're covering this in more ways than one.
Actually, I live on St. George Street, so it would be a major impact for me. I know that when we have a major event, 4th of July comes immediately to mind. The parking is really difficult to get, and I think that it will be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Well, we'll continue to follow it, and thanks for all this great new information about the 450th. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us, Melissa.
Thank you.
We were joined by Dana St. Clair, director of the St. Augustine 450th commemoration, and Alexa Epitropoulos, a reporter with the Jacksonville Business Journal, here in studio this morning. Much more still ahead later. We'll tell you all about the debut of Relax Radio, the music of your life. But up next, Going Green looks at the sustainable creators you saw out at OneSpark. That's after this.
Morning Edition is awake around the clock to bring you the latest news.
It's 2:10 in the morning, so still 5 hours left.
The hosts are usually here around 3:30.
You have Ophibia at 4,
uh-huh.
And it's about the Boko Haram ISIS news over the weekend.
Crunch time is 4 a.m.
until 5 when the show starts.
Hit it. Open.
Good morning, I'm David Green. With
Morning Edition. Up all night to bring you all you need to know. Listen every weekday.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on 89.9.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
The Florida Legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida Public Radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
Welcome back. Well, the city's third annual One Spark Festival wrapped up a huge success over the weekend in downtown Jacksonville, with more than 300,000 people coming to check out the crowdfunding event. And this year, there were a number of green creators. Right now, in today's Going Green, we're going to spotlight two of them. Here to tell us all about it, Sarah Bourne, Executive Director of North Florida's U.S. Green Building Council. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
And here are our creators, Annie Murphy, co-owner of Eco Relics, a project at OneSpark called Repurpose Jacks. Good morning.
Yes, thank you.
And Wyatt Sanders, the CEO and engineer of Insight Energy LLC. Your plug-and-play solar panels were on display at OneSpark.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. All right, let's begin with you, Sarah. It really was remarkable as you walked around the festival. There were so many green or sustainable ideas that people were talking about.
Yes, over 50 projects. So that's one out of nine. Every project had a sustainability theme. And they were just widespread in their breadth and coverage as far as innovation. So anywhere from solar-powered clothing to sustainable local food to planting 10,000 trees in Jacks to educating children with a nature's book or a summer's camp.
Let's talk about Eco Relics, Annie. You've been on the show before. It's such a fantastic concept. For people that don't know about Eco Relics, what's it all about?
We are an architectural salvage company. So we go in and we do deconstructions. We take whatever we can get out from renovations or demolitions. And, you know, we bring it back to our store and we either sell it as is or we repurpose it into something else, which is one of the reasons why we were at OneSpark this year, because we're getting ready to do a workshop.
And so you were raising money for that?
Yes.
And what's going to happen at that workshop?
Well, we're going to teach other people how to repurpose things. So we're hoping to get in school field trips so that we can, you know, get them while they're young so that their first instinct is not to throw away, but it's to make something into something that they might have thrown away.
Sure. And Wyatt Sanders, plug-and-play solar panels. You were right there on Laura Street, I think, during OneSpark.
We were. We were actually right by the Snyder Church.
So tell us about your project.
Well, about 3 years ago, I founded Insight Energy to save the world with solar power by making the world's first plug-and-play solar panel that you can pick up at any home improvement store, bring home and install that day instead of having to wait 6 to 8 months for building permits or having to hire a solar contractor. So this is going to save everyone time and money. And I've been working from my garage for the last 7 years, and I'm almost entirely self-taught.
Interesting. And what drew you to it?
Well, I've always been interested in solar power, and I just want to see more people use it and adopt it.
And we have calls for our green creators here at 549-2937. Tito in Jacksonville. Hi, Tito. Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm the founder of Waterman Green, a local sustainable urban farm that attended OneSpark. I got to tell you, one of the most encouraging things that we actually took away from the festival was that a lot of business owners, even schools and restaurant owners, were really interested in making themselves take on sustainable projects like, you know, plug and play and using more sustainable means to contribute to the community. So it was really interesting to see that it was pretty frequent.
Yeah, definitely so. Thanks for calling us, Sarah. It's a growing presence at the festival. EdSpark has its own educational wing. Maybe the green people need to get together and have their own wing.
We would love to do GreenSpark.
GreenSpark, is that in the works?
It's a dream.
Well, that's the whole thing about this festival, though, is people have the courage to put their dreams out on display and ask people to judge and vote for them. What was the experience like for you, Annie?
You know, we did OneSpark last year as well, so both years have been fantastic for us. We have gotten so much response from the city of Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's ready to go green based on just the response we've gotten from our business.
What kind of response? Give me some examples if you could.
Well, it was great coming in. We came in 12th this year overall, so that was really nice. It was a great reaffirmation of what we're doing in our business.
Did you raise enough to hold your workshop?
We didn't raise enough to hold the workshop, but I think we raised enough awareness so that people will look for those workshops and, you know, attend them.
And awareness is a big part of it, Wyatt. You didn't win, although I know that some people, just hearing discussions, some people felt maybe you got robbed because your concept had a lot of fans. But how did this event help you in terms of awareness of your product and your mission?
So we had excellent market validation from the entire event. Lots of people were interested in our products. And I mean, even though we didn't win, we still placed in the top three for technology. I'm still incredibly happy with the results. And we have tons of people that are contacting us. A couple of people just called me yesterday wanting to have solar panels.
Nice. And right now we're talking green projects at OneSpark as part of our Going Green segment, 549-2937. Don on the south side. Hi, Don.
Hi. I've got to say that EcoStore is just phenomenal. I'm retired on a fixed income, and I've wanted to put in a door in my out back, and I needed a light or a side window. And I went up there, saw them on Craigslist, and went up there, and I'll tell you what, I saved a bundle. I saved over $100 and, you know, got to reuse very good material. I recommend these people to anybody.
All right. Thanks, Donna. Nice vote of confidence for you, Annie.
Thank you very much.
Sarah.
And I was going to make a plug for Annie. If anybody wants to meet her, she is going to be on our Green Carpet Film Series panel that we're screening the Clean Bin Project, which deals with solid waste kind of on the construction side, the food side, et cetera, on Earth Day, April 22nd at 6 p.m. at Sunray.
And let's talk a little bit, too, about the North Florida chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council.
Yeah, so we were a creator last year, and we entered our Live Smart Sustainable Materials and Resources trailer and First Coast Green Pages mobile app. And we are now in kind of the second phase of that. We're hoping to launch Live Smart very soon, which will reach 30,000 people a year, educating about green building, basic steps they can take. If they want to go whole hog, they can, but also about sustainable living. And then our First Coast Green Pages, we're in our beta launch, and we already have 127 green businesses listed in there. They're working on beefing out their profiles, but we're hoping to grow that and really help people be smart with their dollars. They vote for the green businesses. So my husband and I go out on a date night every week. So we want to choose a green restaurant or a green bar or a green movie theater. I mean, there's endless possibilities, but we grow Jacksonville really well.
And check out the green projects at OneSpark. Repurpose jacks from Eco Relics, plug and play solar panels from Inside Energy, Wyatt Sanders, Annie Murphy, Sarah Boren. Thanks so much for being with us and keep us posted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're back in a moment.
This Going Green segment brought to you by Bug Out Service. Spend some time in the Square, an online venue for local artists. WJCT and the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville invite you to vote for your favorite submissions. Visit wjct.org/thesquare.
Hi, I'm Miguel Sanon.
I'm Nora Jones.
My name is Pedrito Martinez.
I'm Christian McBride with Jazz Night in America. Our new show is bringing you inside the jazz world. We're headed to concerts around the country, from New York to LA to DC. And we're talking directly to musicians, finding out how and why they do what they do. Join me right here for Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Travel back in time with Radio Theater, Doo-Wop Revival, The Great American Songbook, and Juke Joint. Throwback Sunday nights beginning at 7 on 89.9 WJCT. Looking forward to looking back.
The Dinosaur Train is rolling into Orange Park. Thrasher Horn Center and WJCT present Jim Henson's Dinosaur Train Live, Buddy's Big Adventure, on Tuesday, May 12 at 6 p.m. See the beloved stars of the hit PBS series come to life on stage in your hometown for the first time. Join Buddy, Tiny, King, Don, and their family and friends in this fun-filled, interactive musical trip back in time. Tickets are on sale now at 904-276-6815 or thcenter.org.
Welcome back to the show. Well, local students on the First Coast are cooking up change. The team from Frank Peterson Academy wins the National Healthy Cooking Competition launched by the Healthy Schools Campaign. They're going to get a free trip to Washington, D.C. as part of a national competition. The winning team in studio now, seniors Alyssa McClendon and Bradley Patterson. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Louisa Alderson, Chartwell's Marketing Director, here to tell us all about this. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So we'll talk to the students in a minute. Very exciting news for them. But first, Louisa, tell us all about Cooking Up Change.
Well, Cooking Up Change is a national culinary competition hosted by Healthy Schools Campaign, and it really involves culinary high school students, which makes it a little bit unique. It's all about the students have a unique list of ingredients. They have to follow the USDA regulations. It's all about them creating a meal that would be served in schools.
And there's been this huge push, kids, to have healthier lunches at school. Tell us about your curriculum and what you're studying and why you got involved in this.
Well, in our school, our culinary academy, every student has to do one of these. And we get in teams of three and we choose recipes and then we send them into Chartwell's and they choose two teams out of everyone that's sent in.
Okay, so tell us about your winning recipe, Alyssa.
Our winning recipe is kind of a Greek theme. So it's like our play on a chicken gyro with tzatziki sauce and then a Greek cucumber salad and a citrus parfait.
Sounds delicious.
Thank
and
you.
Good for you. So what's next for you now that you're winners?
D.C.
Going to D.C. When do you go?
June 8th.
Okay, so is the pressure on? You got to raise the bar for this, right? So, Louisa, they'll be competing with the best students from all over the country, right?
Absolutely. I believe there are about 10 other cities from around the United States where they're also going to have high school culinary students competing with their own recipes.
And so, along with the free trip, the winning team's menu will be served at the Duval County Public Schools, right?
That's correct, next year.
And maybe even in the cafeteria at the House of Representatives?
That's correct.
So this is official Washington's really getting behind this, it sounds like.
It is. It's such a big topic right now, and I think everybody really feels that students need to have a voice.
And tell us a little bit more about the impetus behind this, because, of course, there's been a lot of discussion about childhood and teen obesity and the need to have kids eating healthier, moving more. This is really in keeping with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, as working for Chartwell's, that's what we have to do every day. We have registered dietitians, we have professional chefs, but this is a unique opportunity, and it really gives the kids a great experience to do this for themselves and see what goes into the menu planning.
So as your culinary careers go forward, guys, what do you hope to do once you're all through with school?
I plan on going to culinary school.
You do?
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you want to go to school?
Probably FSCJ first, and then I might transfer to a different one.
Bradley, what about you?
I'm going to Jacksonville University, but I'm undecided on my major.
Well, I'm sure you'll be great chefs at home no matter what you do. And have fun in Washington. Have you ever been to Washington before?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
Never been?
No,
oh, you're in for a lot of fun. Well, it's so exciting. And thank you both so much for joining us. Frank Peterson Academy seniors Alyssa McClendon and Bradley Patterson. Also with us, Louise Alderson, Chartwell's marketing director. The two local winners from the National Cooking Up Change competition. Have fun on that trip. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we're back in a moment as we tell you all about Relax Radio here on 89.9, the music of your life.
Join us weeknights at 7 for music. From symphonies to the latest indie music, you'll hear it all weeknights at 7, only on 89.9 FM.
Deep below the sea, darling, on deep blue sea. Deep below the sea, darling, on
Hi, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And we're the guys from Deemable Tech.
Hey, if you've got a question about your computer, mobile phone, tablet, or the internet,
and who doesn't,
we're here to help.
Join us Thursdays during Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on WJCT.
And check out our podcast online at deemable.com.
That's deemable.com.
On the next Fresh Air, Billy Crystal and Josh Gad.
When I found out Billy Crystal wanted to work with me, nobody was more excited than my grandparents.
They play exaggerated versions of themselves in the new FX series, The Comedians, about an older famous comic who's unwillingly paired with a young comic on a new sketch TV show. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, California Governor Jerry Brown says severe drought conditions affecting the West, Southwest, and the Plains could be the new normal. What the area's ancient drought history can teach us about prospects for water shortages in the years ahead. Weekday mornings at 10 on 89.9.
I've got you under my skin.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, some very exciting news to share here at 89.9. It's the debut of our new radio station, Relax Radio, the music of your life, on the air now at 89.9 HD3. And we're having a big party to celebrate it out at the beaches. Our own music director, David Luckin, and CEO Michael Boylan, here to tell us all about it. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Can't beat Frank Sinatra, can
you? Yeah, can't beat Frank Sinatra.
We'll just let Frank sing it.
I know. Well, Relax is, it's that kind of music,
and
people can't get enough.
Yeah, and my hat off to David and Sean and Alan and all the guys. This was an organic effort in-house when Jones College Radio went the way of the streaming only. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of folks who reached out to us and said, why can't you do something like this? And so we internally we looked at it and said we could. Now, you know, we could explore the possibility and did explore, frankly, a couple years ago of acquiring another FM station. There's millions of dollars, and the investment probably isn't one that we can't afford, but it probably couldn't sustain itself. So the idea of focusing on HD radio is really where we're going. And David, talk a little bit about the event, and
we're gonna launch this and our spring fund drive for WJCT 89.9 and all the other things we do at Lily's Coffee Bar tomorrow night. We're gonna have a giveaway. We're gonna give away an HD radio. We're gonna invite you for a one-time gift of $120 to put a portable HD radio in your hands. The music is what it's all about. We are up to 1,800 songs, which doesn't mean anything to most people until you think top 40 radio plays 40 songs. Other stations have a playlist of about 200.
Yeah.
We are up to 1,800 songs.
And, you know, on Jones College Radio, it was very much standards, which so many loved and missed. Relax Radio will have standards, but also a little bit more modern music, too. What, can you explain how you chose the music?
We're calling this, and Michael will appreciate this. It's really easy listening for baby boomers.
Absolutely.
We're taking you from the Chattanooga Choo-choo with Glenn Miller to the Marrakesh Express with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So it's the music we grew up with. The little difference from the other station is we're not playing all that really, what's the word for it? The Holly Ridge Strings and 101 Strings and Montalbani. We've replaced that with Quincy Jones and Nelson Riddle and Henry Mancini. So we still have the nice pacing where there's nice instrumentals, but they're a little more soulful. Plus we have the oldies, there's light jazz, nothing too heavy, and the Great American Songbook. So you're going to hear everything from Frank Sinatra to the Righteous Brothers.
And the idea, Michael, is people to hear this station, they need an HD radio.
They do. There has been, the HD radio really hasn't taken off like we had hoped when we introduced, six, 7 years ago.
2007, Ford put it in their cars.
Yeah, that's when we introduced the classical, the art station where we do classical music 24/7. But there seems to be a resurgence. There's a number of automobile manufacturers now who are putting HD radios in their car. I've had many friends the last couple of weeks and say, oh, I found your radio station. I didn't even know I had HD in my car. So we are going to, as David said, we're going to be pushing the HD radios. I think manufacturers have made a renewed commitment to make those available to folks, and we are going to do that. So if you enjoy this kind of music in your office, because a lot of folks say, yeah, I love 89.9, but I can't listen to it during the day. I get too caught up in the conversations. So this is going to be a great solution for you.
And to get you hooked, starting this Sunday, we're going to do a little preview on 89.9 from 9 to 11 with Relax Radio. We're going to preempt our Great American Songbook for a while
and
give people a good feel for this.
And we're getting lots of tweets about Relax Radio. The Cultural Council's Tony Allegretti says, I love the new HD 89.9.3. Kenny tweets the show, please let us know where we can acquire an HD radio.
Call
if
us.
Listening on the web is not feasible.
The web
we're
is
working
coming.
On that. Yeah, we can't do everything all at once. We would love to.
Right.
Resources don't allow us to do so, but we are looking to push it out streaming.
It will be streaming. The equipment is here, but it's an engineering feat to get all this plugged in. And
we have 300 portable radios in the building that we will be making available at cost, plus a donation to the station. So when you make that contribution of $120, you will get a radio, but a letter telling you how much of that is a contribution and how much is against the value of the radio. You'll be pleasantly surprised to see that you're getting a really good deal because the retail value of these radios is probably comparable to what the contribution is.
It is very close.
Yeah, and for people that don't have HD in their cars, and I'm going to do this myself so that I can listen, you can go to, I guess, any Best Buy and buy an adapter so that you can listen to our HD channels in your automobile.
And Michael and I have both run into a lot of people who have HD in their car and don't realize
it.
If you see the HD pop up on your screen, you just one click to Arts, which is classical 22 hours a day with fresh air in this program and it's 7 to 9. And one more click takes you to our HD3, which is Relax Radio. It's like our TV site. It's multiple channels
And I
now.
Have to tell you, it's such a pleasant surprise. David has done a marvelous job in the selection of music. And as he says, it runs the gambit. But the tempo of it, all of it, is truly Relax Radio. That's why we love the name. And we love the sense of what it's going to be and how this community is going to embrace it.
And it's happy music. You sing along with most of the songs. We all know all these songs, whether it's Frank right. or Crosby, Stills, and Nash or The Rascals or a lot of Motown in there,
right.
surf music, British Invasion. It's really the music of our life. That sounds kind of cliched, but it truly is.
And we took a look at, if I could real quick, you know, is it viable to buy a service like this out there and bring it to this market? We couldn't find one. We knew this market wanted it. That's why community supported means we want to serve our community.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jones College Radio on the air for
49 years.
Yeah, 50 years on the air. Just incredible. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, people you wouldn't expect, I miss that music. And so kudos to the team here, with you leading the way, David, to replace that void in the media marketplace.
And we updated it. Anything wrong with Jones College, but we've kind of lowered the demo a little and brought in all of us who grew up in the 60s and the 70s to remind ourselves of all that. And Michael said one day, he said, I haven't heard this song in 30 years. And that's kind of the reaction we want. Yep. Someone else sent us a check already, and they said, for Memories Radio. They didn't even know the name of it, but they liked it enough to support it. So we think we've got the right mix.
So again, if people are just tuning in, they need to come out. Let's give everyone the details of Lily's, Live at Lily's. You'll be live on the air Thursday night.
Tomorrow night? We'll spin music from 7:30 to 9. We've got the Willow Wax, Monica and Chad, Mike Burnos and Spice, Mike Shackelford and John Citroni's got a special song to come and sing one song for us.
Plus, so you and I will do our Lewis and Martin and act, right?
Absolutely. Martin and Lewis, yes.
Martin and Lewis.
we'll be there. Melissa's going to come out. Sean, who's made this thing technically possible,
absolutely.
Plugged in the right, make just
he
make
doesn't
it
know
work.
Any of this music, however. He's way too young for
he
it.
He knows quite a bit of it. But
yeah,
but
he actually does. He's a music expert, just like you.
And we've got Patsy Cline and right next door to Ella Fitzgerald. And Johnny Cash next to Frank Sinatra. So it's a real mix. It's all the great songs we all know and love already. So mm-hmm.
To be part of the live broadcast, people
come on down to Lily's. It's in Times Square, right behind Sliders.
And we'll be on the air live at 9
to 11, and lots of great live music. But we want you to come down, and we want you to bring your credit card and sign up with Angel, Amy, and Carlos, and either get a radio or support this, your public radio station, because this is the kickoff to our drive. So call us now, 353-9528.
Yeah, people need to call it. Whether or not they come Thursday, Michael, they need to support us this spring.
Absolutely, and it's actually available online, too. If you just want to go online today and make that contribution, you can certainly do that. So just go to the store, the WJCT store on the website, and you'll find it there and place your order. Because like I said, we've only got 300, and they came across on a boat from China, and
literally.
We're waiting for some more. We don't have them. So the first come, first serve in that regard.
I think there'll be a lot of demand. And go to wjct.org/relax to learn all about Relax Radio. And come on out, meet David, Michael, all of us here at WJCT. We'll be live outside Lily's Coffee Bar Thursday night, beginning around 7:30. Live broadcast, lots of live music, and lots of new Relax playlist music from our own David Luck. And what are we going to close with here?
Hopefully, you're surprising, Sean. We're going to have something. We may revisit
we
Francis.
We are vamping for a moment till Sean gets there.
All right. This is Sean's pick, so we'll just be surprised.
We'll be fine.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, it's Relax Radio, Thursday night at Lily's. Tune in tomorrow for more of First Coast Connect and enjoy the music.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.